I knew you guys would enjoy that proverb. There's a lot of wisdom in it, however. It's called wisdom literature, actually. And Solomon supposedly was the wisest man who ever lived. I sometimes question that because of some of the decisions he made. But anyway, he asked for wisdom and God granted him that. How many could use a little bit more wisdom? Amen. Amen. My wife said a double amen for me. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Are our instincts always right? When you feel something inside of you, something's telling you something.
Amen.
Amen. But in other words, we respond to a certain stimuli to fight or flee, to say something or not, to respond or not respond, to react to a given situation or not react, to act or not act, based on an instinct that's going on deep inside of us at the time. Something is welling up inside of us, and oftentimes when that happens, there's a split second to make a split decision whether you're going to say something or not. And I will say, sometimes when we say something, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. It's already gone. And so you've got to calculate and decide whether or not you're going to react to what happened, that stimuli, whatever it is. Now, Galatians 5 tells us that we have all been endowed with the fruits of the Spirit. And I've often shared this in teachings. There's a difference between gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit. Certain people have gifts. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have gifts, whether it's hospitality or teaching or whatever. But we all have the fruits of the Spirit. And I will tell you that according to the Scriptures, one of the fruits that is given to all of us is the fruit of self-control. How many could use a little bit more self-control? Okay, there's six of us in the church this morning. Now, according to the Scriptures, this fruit of self-control should be evident in anyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not an option. It's not, you know, column B, column A. Every one of us should have this fruit working in our lives where we have the ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to control ourselves when it comes to us being confronted with a situation and how we're going to react to it. Now, I'll circle back to that in a moment. But let me just extrapolate a little bit on the word that Barbara just read from Proverbs chapter 25. I believe this particular chapter in Proverbs, and by the way, a good suggestion is there's 31 Proverbs. You could read one every day for the entire month. And there's a lot of good stuff in there that will help us lead a better life and to find peace and so forth. But the text this morning is jam-packed with wisdom. There's a lot of information in there that could help us live the Christian life in a very, at times, unchristian world, especially when it deals with the whole idea of self-control. Controlling our inner instincts, if you will. And I'm not talking about eating a quart of Breyers ice cream at midnight. That's a different self-control. Controlling our diets and so forth, it's a whole different subject. But in the first verse that Barbara read, I'd like to look at it looking at a few versions or translations. It's the same word, but it's translated a little differently. And I want you to just think about that first verse to begin with. And don't worry, I'm not going to go through each verse, because we'll be here till next week. But Solomon writes, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And then the amplified version says, a word fitly spoken in due season. My favorite translation is the Message translation. Now listen to this one. The right word at the right time is like a fine custom-made piece of jewelry. Precious. Saying the right thing at the right time, or not saying something at the right time. So someone's rude to you. Have you ever had somebody rude to you? Of course, we all have. Maybe someone was rude to you this morning. But someone's rude to you, or someone says something that offends you, that really strikes you deep inside, or someone has a different political view than you, right? There's a lot of tension in the world today and in our country. A lot of us and them. And so something might stir inside of you if a political conversation starts around a dining table or something. And your instinct is welling up, and you're being tempted to respond in a way that's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. You want to love them with a brick.
Amen.
Getting a lot of amens out of you, Conrad. But that's good. I like that. But we've all been there. You know, I've had situations where somebody said something and smoke starts to come out of my ears. And I have to make this decision. Am I going to respond or not? Am I going to react to what this person just said or not? We've all been there. We've all been challenged in these particular areas. Now, there were two incidents that happened when my wife and I were on vacation that I'd like to draw from. One dealt with me personally, and the second incident dealt with my wife and I. Not against each other, but together we experienced an incident that I think will help with this scripture that was just read this morning. In Old Key West, where we stay, there's a lower part and an upper part of Key West, if you've ever been there. The upper part is more modern. The lower part is, it goes all the way back to the Spaniards, and it's an old city, if you will. There's only one market, unless you go to the upper part. There's a Publix, and but down where we are, we don't have a car, so we walk everywhere. There's a market there called Faustos, a Cuban family that started that market back in 1925. It's a little market. So we get into our timeshare. I said to my wife, listen, why don't you unpack and get ready? I'll walk over to Faustos and I'll get some food so we can have breakfast and lunch tomorrow. So I walk 3.5 blocks to Faustos, and I go back to the meat department, and there's a woman working in this meat department, and quite frankly, she was rude. And I'm watching how she's talking to people ahead of me, and I'm going, oh, Lord, we just got here. Get thee behind me, Satan. And, you know, she would say, no, you didn't ask for a smoked ham. You asked for, you know, and she's telling this to the customers, and I'm going, oh, Lord, and I want to order this and that, and I got to deal with this woman. And so there were times in between customers, she would just have a conversation with the cook in the kitchen. And people want to get back to their room. They want to go out and enjoy their vacation. And so it's finally my turn. And I heard in the back of my head, dun, 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 dun. It's your turn. And just as she was about to wait on me, she went, oh, my back. I said, that's it. That's my entry point. I said, you got a bad back, don't you? Oh, Lord, yes. I said, I had a bad back, too. I said, I hurt my back in Israel, and I was really laid up. It was terrible, and I know how bad that feels. And you're standing on your feet all day like that. And she's going, yeah, my feet all day. And we got into this conversation, probably ticked off the people behind us. The next thing I know, she's cut my salami with a smile. And every time I went back in there, she was very friendly with me. So I had a choice. I could either respond and say, hey, lady, do you like your job? You ought to be thankful you have a job. Or, you have a bad back, don't you? A little entry point. There was a little opening there. And it worked. And it was good. And I thought to myself, take a deep breath, remind myself who I am in Christ, pray for the right opportunity to respond the right way, and as Solomon said, a beautiful custom piece of jewelry was created. Right? I don't always respond that way. I want you to know that. Okay, so let's just get that disclaimer out of the way. I wish I could say I always did, but no. But when I do, magic happens. When you do, magic happens, because then Christ is well pleased with the way we're interacting with other people. And that's what he expects of us. Now, if you skip down to verse 24, as you can see, I'm trying to work to the beginning, the midpoint, and the end of our passage. It says, Barbara added, she edited that verse a little bit, but that's okay, because I'm comfortable with that. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife or husband. You know what? On second thought, I'm going to skip that passage. let me just move on. Because I don't want to be on the corner of my roof when we get home. Let's leave that one alone. So let's go to verse 28. And it says here, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Now, in biblical times, if you didn't have a good wall around your city, you were vulnerable to attack by an enemy. Because borders and walls and enclosures are extremely... Even in modern combat logistics and strategy, that still holds true today. So if you have like a base camp, you have to have a perimeter and an outer perimeter, and you have to protect who's within that perimeter. And so Solomon's saying that if a city without walls is like a person who lacks self-control. Now think about that. A city without walls is unprotected and vulnerable. That's the point he's trying to make. And likewise, Solomon is instructing us that if we lack self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, if we lack that, we leave ourselves open to an attack by the enemy of God, who's Satan, and even our own sinful nature, to respond in a way that God is not pleased with. We're like a city with no walls, and we're vulnerable to respond and react in a way that's unacceptable. So incident number two now involves my wife and I. And this is an interesting story. I just praise God, not for the incident, but perhaps the response. Our flight out of Orlando, Florida was delayed. And so we knew that once we got to Philadelphia, we would have to really move quickly to get to the departure gate for our return trip from Philly to Islip, Long Island. But we didn't realize that the walk from one end of the airport to the other was like 20, 25 minutes. And I have very long legs, so my stride is two or three times longer than my wife's. Well, about 10 minutes into that walk, my wife looked like this. Her legs were like jello, and I'm way ahead of her because I'm trying to get to the gate because we don't have assigned seats. So I want to at least get there to say, we're here, could you give us our seats, and so forth. Well, to make a very long story short, we get to our departure gate, and there's no agent at the gate. But we see Islip. We see Islip. So I'm waiting there, and I'm not moving because I figured maybe they're waiting. I'm going to stay right here because I want to be the first one to get my seats, our seats. When the agent finally comes, she says, just a moment, and she started documenting something about the flight that left before. She's putting in numbers. She said, now how can I help you, sir? I said, we need seats for our flight. As soon as she started to enter in, and we had boarding passes, our information was on AA.com, for American Airlines, and so forth. And so she goes to type in our name. She goes, there's a problem here, but I can't help you right now. I got to start boarding this flight. And she goes, group number one, group number, there's eight groups. They're all going on there, and I'm standing there like chopped liver. And so finally, she starts to enter our information. She says, I got to call a supervisor. You got to call a supervisor. I'm thinking, I'm not saying anything. People who are late to the flight, she's letting them get on. Now it's only me and my wife standing there, exhausted. The supervisor gets there, and she starts working on it. She goes, how many minutes do we have before closure of the door? She's 2 minutes. I said, 2 minutes? Oh, God, help us. Can't help you. We can't find you on the manifest. Boarding pass? It's on my phone. Our bags are on that plane. So finally, the phone rings, and the agent says to my wife and I, you need to go over to the manager station. So I said to her, are you closing that door? Yes. Flight was gone. So we get over to the manager station, and they're all huddled around the computer, and they're typing away, but they're not speaking to us. And so the supervisor walks away from the manager station to go somewhere else. And my wife says, ma'am, could you tell us what's going on? She goes, yeah, you're not going to be on that flight, but we'll get you on the next one. I said, when is that? She says, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Still didn't react. Love her with a brick, you know, kind of thing. No. I said, nothing, Lord, is going to destroy this great vacation we just had. And so I said to her, can you get us to JFK or LaGuardia? And we were so polite and calm, and we just got off a two-week vacation. We were happy, and she said to the agent, see if you can get them a flight to New York. They got us a flight to LaGuardia. Our bags in Islip, though. Got us a flight to LaGuardia. She says, but you're going to have to rush to that gate, which is on the other side of the airport, and we're going to send you to Washington, D.C. Now, I went from Orlando to Philly, down to Washington, and then up to LaGuardia. To make a very long story short, we sunk in our seats. We were separated from Philly to Washington. My wife was way up there, and I said to my wife, don't even ask to have your seat changed. Just sit down. And on the flight home, one of the flight attendants was so nice. He seated us together. We sunk in our chairs going back to LaGuardia, and we just looked at each other, and we said, we had a great vacation, and this ain't going to ruin it. And we didn't react. We didn't scream. Sometimes you hear people screaming at the airport. What are you kidding me? I have a boarding pass. Our bag is... No. Just listen. We're going to sleep in our bed tonight. That's all. The Uber is going to cost us $200. Who cares? We're going to be home tonight. And it was a great thing. The walls of self-control were all around us. Did I want to respond away? Are you kidding me? Is this even possible? How did this happen? Yeah, but is that going to bring that? You know, I'm going to say, are you kidding me? And all of a sudden the pilot's going to turn the plane around and pick us up like an Uber driver. It's not going to happen. And we were able with the fruit of the Spirit to withstand that inner instinct to respond in a way, how could this happen? It's not possible. We paid for our tickets and so forth. And therefore, we were able to slump in our seats back to LaGuardia to say, thank you, Lord, for a great vacation. Now, listen, I could give you other examples where I have lost my control that I'm not proud of. However, having said this, I would at least like to believe that more times than none, I've been able, or my wife, we've been able to control ourselves rather than losing control. And so I want to end with a statement made by Elbert Hubbard. He was an artist, a 20th century artist. He was a publisher, and he was also a writer. And he wrote this sentence. I'd like to read this for you, because I think it encapsulates the whole idea of what Solomon's trying to tell us this morning. Self-discipline is the ability to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Let me read that again. Self-discipline is the ability to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not. And let me tell you, friends, when we do that, rather than creating a mess, because I believe had we caused a scene, they probably would not have found us a flight to LaGuardia. They even gave us a voucher for food. But when we do this, to do what we should do, when we should do it, whether we like it or not, rather than creating a mess, we create fine, custom-made pieces of jewelry. That's what Solomon was saying. When we react the right way, something beautiful is created. And you have that peace which passes all understanding. Nothing was going to ruin our vacation. So what? A bag was in Islip. So what? Our son-in-law went and picked it up for us. And even delivered it to our home. So what? An Uber cost $200 instead of $22 from Islip. We slept in our beds that night. We remembered the great time that God gave us while we were in Florida. And a fine piece of created jewelry was made. And nothing could rob us of our peace. And we were kind to people. Isn't that what God calls us to do? God calls us to be such a person when we're challenged in those kind of ways. And when we choose to remember that, we'll respond the way we should. And good things will happen because of it. You believe it? It works, friends. Amen.